this term. So Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 to 32. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you what, by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe him? John the Baptist told the people to come to Jesus the Savior. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. I have been writing a booklet on how Jesus taketh puny men in their own craftiness. Jesus simply puts them in his own pocket. They cannot run away. Who try to catch Jesus, they are caught. Now the next paragraph. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and he went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twin did the will of the Father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believe him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when he had said it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. The chief priests and elders reject Jesus, and they are rejected. As we turn to the two paragraphs that we have just read, the chief priests and elders despising our Lord's teaching and challenging him for his authority, we come and see that here is the logic of intellect that is being condemned by our God. In the second paragraph, when we see the publicans and harlots repenting before God because they believe in Jesus, they believe in John the Baptist who leads them to Jesus, then we have the logic of faith. Let them display which is accepted. By way of application, we have two pastors and some elders who have arisen and say the Bible is not perfect. And they give their reason is that they are very intellectual. We are scholars. And we have found some mistakes. But we find that it is at least 99%. And since it does not affect her doctrine, it is also perfect to us. What a cunning way of saying things. They rely on their intellect. It is like, it's a double talk, like the hiss of a snake. But now we thank God that we have three churches that have declared the Bible is perfect. Without any mistake, the very word of God. So this matter has become not only a local concern of one church, but of three churches, and it is a question for the church of the whole world to answer. The battle has just begun. And I thank God that we have heard of good news. Dr. Jeffrey Koo, who is the academic dean of Far Eastern Bible College, has written a book, The KJV Questions and Answers. And Dr. Arthur Steele, Chancellor of Clearwater Christian College, Florida, has written a foreword for him. And we must all also take a part to discover what is the truth. Now, the glory of God is very connected in this question. To say the Bible, God's word has mistakes, or the Bible is perfect without any mistake, it touches on the glory of God. And so, those who say that the Bible has mistakes, 99%, in very intellectual, cunning wording, they detract from the word of God, take away his glory. But those who support the Bible as the perfect word of God, because if God's word is not perfect, then how can he be perfect? You mean to say he cannot preserve his word perfect? Who is the Almighty God who created heaven and earth, the stars, and he cannot keep his word perfect? There is one verse I've discovered in John chapter 7 verse 18. They who speak for themselves seek their own glory. And God's glory is reserved for himself, that no one can take it. I'm going to ask you to do a bit of turning the Bible and give you 7 verses that teach that the Bible is a perfect word of God and has no mistake at all. Can you turn with me, first of all, to Psalm 12? Please turn to Psalm 12. Verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Take note every word that you read of the Bible. It's such beautiful, wonderful, and accurate words. For example, Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, not more than yourself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. See how accurate it is? If you must love your neighbor more than yourself, your next neighbor is your wife. And she tells you, jump into the well. You have to jump. Because you must love her more. Purified words. Next verse. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Thou shalt preserve thy word, your purified words, from this generation forever. God has promised us that He will keep His word and keep it in preservation, that you cannot change anything. Then let us turn to Matthew chapter 5 verse 18. Matthew chapter 5 verse 18. When He declares, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. One jot is the letter I for Hebrew. The Hebrew jot is yod, is I. And one tittle is like the cross of a T. God's word is so preserved. And here is, with regard to the Old Testament, Jesus declares, preserve to the last letter of an I, just a small letter. And the cross of a T, just one stroke. You can never change one little bit of God's word. For example, say 1,000, I owe you 1,000. And you don't have your full writing, but just one. You can add at one stroke, it becomes 7,000. It means totally different. And then I would like you to turn to Matthew 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, not word, plural, shall not pass away. Therefore, this comes to Jesus' guarantee of the New Testament, because it's spoken in the New Testament, and His words shall not pass away, though heaven and earth may pass away. And the same statement is made in two other synoptic gospels. Turn to Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 13. Verse 31, exactly the same. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Second time he repeats it. And then in the Gospel of St. Luke, it's recorded. Luke 21, 33. Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Three times. And then we now come to John. John 10:35. John 10:35. If you call them gods unto whom the word of God come, we leave this alone, but take the latter verse. The scripture cannot be broken. Referring once again to the Bible. The scripture cannot be broken, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament. And it refers to the fact that Moses came down from a mountain with the Ten Commandments, the two tablets, but the people were worshipping a golden calf. He got so angry, he threw the two tablets on the ground and broke them. But God says, the word of God cannot be broken. You bring another two tablets and went up. He went up to the mountain again. And God had the Ten Commandments rewritten on the two new tablets. There's no way that you can say that the Bible, now we discover, has mistakes. The logic of intellect is totally condemned. We cannot criticize God's word. We can only bow down. Whatever it may be, we leave it to God to work it out for us. But we believe that the Bible is the pure word of God without any mistake. And finally, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which is a familiar one. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. How the Lord in the beginning inspired the word, and how the Lord later on preserved the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I want to add this observation. How is it that we have this service in this place because of kind of a life church? Because you also agree that when our two pastors, assistant pastors and elders deny the Bible is perfect. But we declare, and I'm so happy to have Calvary Pandan, Calvary Tengah also declare with us that the Bible is perfect and no mistake. But do you know all these 7 verses that tell us the Bible is foolproof? Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will not pass away. You may not know, but your logic of faith tells you that those who say the Bible is perfect, they are in the will of God and God will bless them. Truly the Lord has blessed us and many new friends have also come to join us. Do you not believe that God is the Almighty God? That is your logic of faith. The logic of the faith is, if He is Almighty God, why can He not preserve? If He created the sun, moon and stars, how is it that He will not be able to preserve that word for us? He can. So that is just as simple as that. And I read to you Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is God. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In all dealings with God, we must come to Him by faith, by saving faith. How are you saved? Just by simply trusting the Lord. So simple. We can never do enough of good works to earn our way to heaven, but simply by trusting. So that when we come to deal with Him, we must seek more faith, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I do not come to you claiming scholarship that I've researched and found the mistakes, but never mind. We do not concern doctrine, so it is perfect. Such argument is like the snake, double talk. But our talk is very straightforward and simple. And Calvin adds this, faith is superior to human intellect. Why? For it comes from the illumination of the Holy Spirit. How do we have faith? Even faith is given by God to us. It is, you know why you are saved? Because God has chosen you. And because He has chosen you, He gives you the saving faith. So unless we come to Him by faith, all our dealings with Him will be condemned. I therefore conclude the logic of intellect has lost to the logic of faith. May you have this faith. May you live through peacefully with the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, by our serious preaching, we come to two kinds of people, the chief priests and the elders, who reject Jesus' teaching and they are condemned, they are rejected. The publicans and harlots, because they knew their sins and they repented, they had the logic of faith And so, you bless them. May you bless all our people here to continue in the logic of faith and trust that we may do the right thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.